Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this opportunity to come and share your word with folks. And Father, we pray that during this time of trouble, we pray that you would reach down and bring peace to the situations that we are in. We're thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus who died for us on Calvary. And because of him, we have everlasting life and we have a home in the Father's house. And Father, we pray that you would bring this thing to an end that we face at this time. We know that you're in control. We know that you're on your throne. And all of our hope is in you. We love you, great King. Bless our message this morning. Perhaps maybe someone will be saved today, Lord. We certainly hope that would happen through the ministry here, through the message here. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to teach out of the book of Colossians today. It's not going to be lengthy or anything of that nature, I don't think. But the book of Colossians is one of my favorite epistles of the Apostle Paul. The key word, when we looked at the book of Philippians, the key word was joy and rejoice, if you'll remember. But the key word in the book of Colossians is thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving, we're going to show you here in just a little bit, but thanksgiving is used in every chapter in the book of Colossians. And what's unusual about that, when you look at Colossians 4, when you look at Colossians 4 in verse 18, here's what he writes at the very last verse of this epistle. It says, a salutation by my hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. And that means that he was in chains, just like he was in the book of Philippians when he wrote that particular epistle. Remember my bonds. Actually, just consider that just for a little bit. Now, this was a man of God. One of the greatest men of God that ever walked this earth was the Apostle Paul. He started numerous churches. He had a zeal for the lost folk. And he went everywhere to deliver the gospel. He had Paul and Silas, and then he went on several different missionary journeys. And he served the Lord. He served the Lord faithfully all his days. But he's in bonds now. He's not running loose like he did before. He was able to go wherever he wanted to before. But now, what's he doing? He's in bonds. He couldn't go out. But you know what? He could still write. He could still write. He's the one that wrote the book of Colossians, and he wrote over half the New Testament. They never did shut him down until they killed him. And they couldn't do that unless the Lord had allowed it. His time had come, and then the Lord brought him home. But you think of what a dedication that this man had to the Lord in this grand book and epistles that he wrote. So he's in bonds. What's the key word in this book? Thanksgiving. Every chapter deals with thanksgiving. Let's go ahead and look at some of these. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. This is how Colossians opens up. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's chapter 1 and verse 3. What's he doing there in verse 3? He's giving thanks. Where's he at? Bonds. I mean, you just think about it just for a little bit. We whine over a whole lot of things, don't we? It don't take a whole lot to get us to question God. But it never shows you where he questioned him. He just trusted. And he continued to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's for as much as you know, it's your labor for the Lord's not in vain. He just kept right on serving the Lord. So in verse 3, he says, we give thanks. Chapter 1 and verse 12, same thing. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks, that's two times. Think about that. Where's he at? What's he in? He's in bonds. He chose to give thanks. Now, like I've told you a million times before, I don't know that I'd been able to give thanks in a situation like that. I mean, he didn't know whether he was going to live or die. But he continued to give God what? Give God thanks. Now, if he could give thanks in a prison facing death, don't you think we should give thanks? Isn't that something we should do as God's people? Every day of our life, we should make the choice to rejoice. Every day. And so you make a choice whether you're going to give thanks or not. I mean, if the Lord, the Lord wants us to be that way. He wants us to be a grateful and a thankful people. But I still ain't done. Let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. Same thing over again. It says, chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, which is Jesus, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. There you have it again. He mentions it all over again. Chapter 3, and the verse 15, it says, and above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Here you have it again. And be ye thankful. Have it again. Isn't this amazing? Where's he at? He's in bonds. He's in prison. I want to keep reminding you of where he's at. Verse 17, chapter 3 and the verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 and the verse 2. It says, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's every chapter. Every chapter of the book of Colossians mentions thanksgiving. Do we have reason to give thanks? We do. We do. We have many things that we can be thankful for. What we oftentimes do is we overlook the great things that God has done for us. The greatest thing God ever done for me was save my soul. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. God bestowed upon me his grace. And there was a day and a time in my life in which God opened my heart. When to open your heart is to open your understanding. And I realized that I was a sinner and that if I died in the condition that I was in, I'd go to hell. And boy, that touched my heart. The Holy Spirit touched my heart, and I realized I was lost and I was undone. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I hope you have. I hope everyone that's listening has. Because there's nothing any more important than that. People live for so many different kinds of things. It's aggravating, I think. They live for so many things. They live for that earthly retirement. They work all their days for an earthly retirement that probably won't last 5 or 6 years. You need to think more along the lines of the eternal things. The greatest riches there is eternal life. Do y'all agree? The greatest riches in the world is eternal life. I have eternal life. Will I die one day? Maybe. I may go up in the rapture, but if I don't go up in the rapture, then I'm going to die. But when I die, I'll go to be with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing, buddy. Yeah, there's nothing any greater than having eternal life, having a home in the Father's house. And just think about it just a little bit. We got loved ones in heaven, don't we? We expect earnestly to see them one of these days. And we look forward to seeing them one of these days. Thanksgiving. Where was he at? Bonds. Now, people do, I mean, today there's a lot of complaining going on, aren't they? There's no lack of complaining. We hear that all the time. My beloved, God is still doing great things. He is still doing great things. He's still saving souls. Who's our provider? God's the one that provides for us. We got the same provider today that we've had all of our days. Our provider never has changed. He will continue to provide for his people just like he promises in the scriptures. Wonderful thing, is it not? Let me ask you a question. I mentioned this when I done the text in the book of Philippians. But if you had 2 meters and you had a complaint meter and a praise meter, which one would go the highest every day? Every day, which one would go the highest? Do you complain more than you praise? Do you complain more than you praise? Man, God should hear praise from his people. You all agree? God should hear praise from his people. Man, the benefit package that goes with salvation is priceless. I got a home in heaven. I got a home in the Father's house. I got everlasting. I got everlasting life. I have no condemnation. When I was a little boy, them old Baptist preachers would come down here, listen, and they'd pound on the pulpit, buddy, and they'd preach on hell. And I'm glad they did. It's too late to learn about hell after you're dead. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid all of our condemnation on the cross by dying and rising again. It's a wonderful thing. It's a reason to rejoice. You know why I'm happy today? I'm happy because I'm saved. I'm happy because I have eternal life. I'm happy because I have forgiveness of sins. I'm happy because he doesn't even impute sin to me. I'm also happy because he's given me his righteousness. To go to heaven, you got to have 100% righteousness. It leaves us all out. But we have Christ. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, he charges to your account his perfect righteousness. That's a wonderful thing. And that's a reason to give what? Thanks. I give thanks because of my salvation. I give thanks because of my provisions. I give thanks because of all the benefit package that goes with being saved. It's priceless. And I have it. And if you've trusted Jesus, you have it too. I wrote some things down here, and I think I've already mentioned them all, but I'm going to give them to you again. Here's the things I'm especially thankful for. Number one is eternal life. Remember, eternal life is a gift of God. It's a what? It's a gift. Who gave you the gift? Jesus did. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number two, I got a home in heaven. Got a home in heaven. how great is that? I got a lot of loved ones in heaven now. A lot of the Arthur's family has departed. But isn't it wonderful that there's going to be reunions one day and we're going to get to see our loved ones again? Isn't that going to be a wonderful thing? That song, What a Day That'll Be, has always been special to me. Eternal life, I give thanks for eternal life. I give thanks for my home in heaven. I give thanks that I got victory over death. If Jesus don't come, we're going to die. But I got victory over death. I'm not afraid to die. Don't want it to hurt. I say that all the time. Don't want it to hurt. But I have victory over death. When I die, I got victory. And I just go off to be with the Lord. And then number four, I have no condemnation. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 now, let me turn to that. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at the verse 20. And this is Paul and Silas again. We've reversed a little bit to go back, and I want to give you some of the statements made here in Acts chapter 16. The response of the Apostle Paul is one I want to focus on in this particular text. In Acts chapter 16, let's go ahead and notice that, the verse 20. It says, "And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." They called them troublemakers. What were they doing? They were preaching about Jesus. They were preaching about Jesus. That could happen someday in our own country. We don't like to think it could never happen, but it could happen. It could happen. So that's what they were doing. So they rent off their clothes and they commanded them to be beaten. And they put them in the inner prison. What the inner prison was a place where there wasn't no light. So they were put in a prison that was complete pitch black darkness. And that's after having been beat and being put in the stocks. That's what these men of God went through in this particular text. Now, let's read on down. It says, verse 23, "When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prisons, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks." Stocks, is, you've seen pictures of them. Your head and your hand and your head and your hands is in the stocks, and you're in a bent over position. And they were in pitch black darkness. Well, God interceded in a mighty way. Listen to it now. At midnight. What would you be doing at midnight if you'd just been beaten for preaching the gospel? How would you responded? Would you complain, quarreled? I probably would. I guarantee I've complained and quarreled over a whole lot less than this, haven't you? But at midnight, they could have quarreled. They could have blamed God. They could have said bad things. But at midnight, what did they do? They sang praises. That means they were singing. Singing in the dark. And the scripture says here, all the prisoners heard them. I think the prisoners thought something big was getting ready to happen, don't you? These men of God, these godly preachers who preached the gospel, and all these prisoners heard them. And buddy, God sent an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Wouldn't you like to have been there to see that? All the prison doors come open. Now, what would you have thought if you was the jailer? You would assume that everybody would have took off running. But they didn't. Something was so special about this circumstance that none of the prisoners left. God was moving. And buddy, when God moves, people don't want to leave. So the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he was getting ready to kill himself, because if your prisoner escaped, they killed the one that was watching him. That's how they did it. You know, this old prison guard, I bet he treated Paul bad when he was in there. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword. So he was going to kill himself. He'd rather kill himself as go through probably the torture he would have faced because he lost the prisoners. Verse 28. And Paul cried with a loud voice. Now what, listen to this man of God. This is the guy that would beat him. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." Nobody left. Think about that. The doors were open, they could have left, but they stayed. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling. Wouldn't you have been trembling? Something big was happening. Earthquake happened. The doors came open. This Christian preachers was there, Paul and Silas, and they had been preaching, and God was moving, and people didn't know what was going on. So Paul said, don't do yourself no harm. We're still here. We're still here. He called for a light, and he was trembling, and he fell down before these two preachers. And he brought them out. Now here's where they're specifically asked in Scripture. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Specifically asked. What do I got to do? He probably heard them singing. I don't know where he learned his theology at, but he knew something was going on. And he asked to be what? Saved. What must I do to be saved? The greatest thing anybody could ever do on this world is to be saved. And I want you to hear me. It's specifically asked in this question. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your house. In other words, if you will believe, you will be saved. If your house believes, they will be saved. That's what he's saying. Believe means to trust in him, to put your confidence in him. Just as plain, just as clear a text as you can hear and see. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and your house. You know, we want our house to be saved. That means our household. We want our people in our family to be saved, our grandchildren, our children. That's the greatest thing there is. And we'll tell you one more time, you're not successful if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. You need everlasting life. And the only way you can get everlasting life is to believe on him. Now let's continue on. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord." They spake unto him the word of the Lord, the gospel, taught him the scriptures. "And he took them the same hour of the night." Now I want you to watch this, because he's going to have to be leaving the next day. But I want you to watch this now. "And they spake unto him, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." So this jailer took these two preachers home and fed them. Think about it. Took them to his house. And it says, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and they were baptized, and all his house straightway." Wow, that was a revival That was a revival. I want you to think about that. How great that really is. He gave thanks. They prayed and gave thanks. And they worshiped in their rough situation. And God blessed them for it. God blessed them for it. Watch this now. He brought them into his house. This old jailer, he probably was one that beat them. This old jailer, he set meat before he fed them, give them something to eat. And watch this now, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's a big deal, isn't it? We want our house to be saved. That's our household. He saved this jailer, and then the Lord touched his house. And the Lord saved his soul. This is a specific question and a specific answer. What must I do to be saved? What must you do? It's not changed. It's still the same way it's always been. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank everyone for listening today. And now if you're here, I pray that you would trust Christ as your Savior if you never did. If you call Him, if you call, He'll save you. Thank you so much for listening.